Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. That's why Poetry Magazine is proudly called Chicago home for more than 100 years. Poetry publishes contemporary poetry, including talents like Ada Limone, Ocean Vuong, and Avery R. Young. New subscribers to Poetry Magazine also receive an exclusive tote bag. Get yours at poetrymagazine.org/totes4poets.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. In our last episode, we learned about how buying a vacant lot in Chicago can be a process.
We don't have competing interests, I don't think. Can we just write you a check now? And let's hurry up and get it over with.
Today, we're going to talk about how one organization on the South Side transforms vacant spaces in an area of the city that has a lot of them. Grow Greater Inglewood works to turn vacant lots into green spaces and create an urban agriculture zone.
Transforming those vacant lots into urban farms, transforming those spaces into community plazas and growing spaces.
This is Grow Greater Inglewood co-founder Anton Seals Jr.
We're building, we're connecting, and we're protecting, you know, the identity and the history, the legacy of Inglewood and all of the Black families that made this community what it is.
Anton started Grow Greater Inglewood with Illinois State Representative Sonia Harper back in 2017. One of the main initiatives they're involved in is the creation of the Inglewood Nature Trail.
A big celebration for Heritage Park in Inglewood this morning. A city leader's detailed plans for the Inglewood Nature Trail.
It includes developing the land for urban farming, housing, businesses, and public parks.
So think the 606 Trail, but running east-west near 59th Street along an unused railroad bed. Construction is scheduled to start in 2026. And an area around this future nature trail has a lot of adjacent vacant lots. Anton tells me that there are many reasons for that and for why the South and West sides have so many vacant lots in general. Inglewood is a predominantly Black neighborhood, and Anton points to the long history of Black people not getting a fair shot at home ownership. He points to the war on drugs in the 90s. He points to white flight.
All of those factors led to like how we ended up with so many vacant lots. And then you get to where we had the housing crisis, the closed school crisis. You know, you can just go through each, and then Inglewood becomes then a petri dish for all the social determinants of health that have gone wrong, where poor policy is talked about, but we actually have to live it.
Anton says, these days, there are a number of organizations like his that are working inside local communities to improve those social determinants of health. And vacant lots are a part of that. I talked to Anton about why getting a hold of unused lots remains so difficult. And you'll notice how focused Anton is on taking care of the diverse ecology of the land. And he connects the ubiquity of vacant lots to the past, the future, and to social justice.
We're seeing this as a catalytic kind of investment for the future, for not just Inglewood, but for Chicago and for the environment. When we take care of our environment, then that does not mean that people who live near it can't afford to live near nice spaces, meaning more green spaces. So we're looking at this at multiple levels of trying to attract the kind of businesses that can return. So light manufacturing, food manufacturing, all the things that are kind of connected to agriculture at a kind of scale that would sit nicely in a community like Englewood.
I think when people think about investing in a blighted area, they may think of an urban farm, community garden, maybe even a farmer's market, you know, coming out of that. But a nature trail is not really a part of it for most people, I think. And I wonder if you can talk about the benefits of turning vacant land into nature trail.
So our strategy has been around using this as a way to help, one, redefine urban conservation work and conservation work in its entirety, right? That, you know, the humans in our case can't be separated from the conservation of our spaces.
Right.
That we're conserving and the ecology of our spaces. We need more birds and bees. And we see this as, because it's not just a bike path, that is a place for what we've heard from many of the residents is they want a place where they can take their grandchildren. It's always about family and fun and nourishment and things that are so central to the Black identity, which is the American identity.
In our last episode, we talked about some of the challenges individual residents deal with. Just for instance, buying a lot from the city that's adjacent to the property that they already own. Anton said there are challenges for organizations like his to acquire vacant lots as well.
Ultimately, it's like then you look behind, you know, closed doors, you're like, oh, there's only four people working on these kind of things across the entire city.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, so no wonder it takes several months, because it's not a one size fits all. Englewood is nothing like Portage Park or Belmont Cragen or any other, you know, working class community, but the rules are all the same. And it's, that's why it stays blighted, because if even for small organizations or small homeowners, the process itself costs money.
Yeah.
So what I would give credit to in terms of the last couple administrations is trying to really address this issue of, you know, this kind of cutting the tape. Like, why are we going through the same process that someone in downtown goes? So essentially for us, what we've learned is that there needs to be some level of efficiency.
But which will come through more staffing. Partially come through more staffing on the city's end.
Or organizational structure, actually. So not just more staffing. It could be like, why are we going through 12 different steps when one person can make this decision, right? You know, our continuous push, and we'll continue to push this, is we should not be in the same line for a permit that someone who's opening up a building who can afford to pay a couple million dollars that to get, you know, permitted to open up a food pantry, to open up a farm.
A big piece of the work that Grow Greater Englewood does is simply to reduce the number of vacant lots in the neighborhood. I asked Anton why that's a priority and why it's so hard.
Healing the land and having spaces where people can go and they feel safe is so important. It's part of the draw of living in the city. Even though we have all these vacant lots, most of the homeowners are still trying to hold on to their homes. So what we have to do is to be able to first have a, you know, a solid plan of how do you make whole the people who are already living here? Because before we can start talking about we need to build more affordable housing, which we do. It's not that we're saying we don't. It's just that if you're building affordable housing, the affordability of today is $200,000.
Yeah.
Or $150,000. Like, but if you look at the data that is, you know, in 60621 and 36, the majority of folks are not making that kind of money. They're still making $30,000.
Yeah, that's not affordable.
These are the working poor. These are the people that people seem to think are sitting on their ass, but are working at your Shake Shacks and your every retail establishment that they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
So I'm always a proponent to reject this fallacy that, you know, the folks are just sitting around waiting to get a handout. Like, no, people are actually working. It's just that the capitalism system, it doesn't afford you to do more than what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And don't have debt. So I think that this is like playing into how do we answer that question of like, what do you do with these vacant lots? And community has answers for that.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is, you know, all of this is, it's a land issue. It's a community issue. Big picture, it's a social justice issue.
Yes, it's a liberatory issue. Correct.
Where does that live, you know, in the way that you engage about your work?
You know, there's a few things. I think that the systems that we currently have don't always work. So we're not trying to get to go back to systems that the way that they were, that's how we got here. So it's really hard for people to see that things the way they are now won't be the way they are in the future. And as a great grandson of the, you know, Great Migration, in my families and so many families, people who have migrated here in the United States or who have come, they could not have foreseen someone sacrificed for us to even have these kind of conversations today. And embedded in that is still the revolution of what, you know, made America attractive, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Which is justice. And when that's denied, that it becomes this tension. Ultimately, where we want to see this go is when we think about Englewood or Chicago, Black Chicago, is one, how are the children? And right now we're still in a lot of trouble. But the more that we can kind of put these kind of parcels together to kind of hold on to each other, to create these sweet spots, these oases. So legacy is a big motivating factor, is the legacy of what we're going to leave behind for our children. And that's how we think this is a love letter to generations to come, that you're going to be able to walk and have a forest bath in your own community. And Lord knows we need to de-stress from all the isms and schisms that this place offers us. Nature is a healer. We know that. There's the science behind that. And there are so many of our people, young and old, who exist now, who are able to help us envision these. We have all of this already.
Anton Seals Jr. is Grow Greater Englewood's co-founder and lead steward. Anton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, you can send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org, or you can visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.